Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com. Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
In this audiocast number 11, we continue and conclude our discussion with transgender Ashley Jane Morgan, and we talk about surgery, suicide, sincerity, and actually a surprise ending. So just sit back and
listen.
If you're willing to talk, Father Leo is willing to listen. Get ready for a deliciously deep discussion of Shoot the Shiitake with Father Leo.
And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake with me, Father Leo. And I certainly hope that you are not like some of the people who emailed me last week when the first part of the show kicked in. And why I say that is because some people are just downright mean, close-minded, bigoted Catholics. And I say that because there are bigoted Catholics, as there are bigoted Democrats, as there are bigoted Republicans, as just people who can be very bigoted people. And that basically means judgmental slash prejudicial and, frankly, close-minded. And while I certainly appreciate everyone who kind of emailed and supported me with encouraging thoughts because they appreciated an open-minded spirit to all of this, I want to let you know that I'm not just simply opening my mind up to everything and anything that may be confusing. You see, I'm actually pretty confident in my identity as a Catholic priest and as someone who believes fully in the Catholic faith, which is why I'm not afraid to talk to people who are very different from my perspective as a Catholic. So, without further ado, what I'm going to do is share with you two more parts of our deep dish discussion here on the Shoot the Shiitake. I continue and conclude my conversation with Ashley Jane Morgan, who was going into surgery just a week after we had this conversation. So when we return, more of the deep dish discussion, and then, of course, my carryout order, and perhaps, probably even more impressively, the surprise ending. We will return in just a minute. But in the meantime, stay hungry and be willing to listen for more. This episode of Shoot the Shiitake with Father Leo is brought to you by Select International Travel, where they have passion for pilgrimages and compassion for the pilgrim. And as you're listening to this, I'm actually on a Select International tour doing a Danube River cruise and helping people to connect culture to faith. And the reason why I'm so proud to work with Select International is because they are a perfectly sized company for the unique work that I want to do. You see, they're definitely big enough to have amazing connections, and they've actually shown me things that have actually been very surprising and energizing for me as a tour leader. But at the same time, they are just the right size to give me and all of my pilgrims the perfect attention so that every pilgrimage really is an answer to a prayer, and getting to know a country through culture and the cuisine is exactly what we do best. For more information on all of my pilgrimages, go to fatherleofeeds.com. At the same time, you can call Select International for upcoming trips at 800-842-4842 or visit them at selectinternationaltours.com. Welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake. I am talking with Ashley Jane Morgan. Deep dish discussion, and here's the side dish conversation where we're going to now kind of discuss, Ashley, the decision. How did you make it? I mean, and then what was the impact it had on your family?
Okay, so are you talking about the decision to transition?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that means surgery, but even prior to surgery,
sure,
you're going through the whole stage of things, right?
Well, and there are different levels of what you call a decision. And quite honestly, I guess I need to clear that up as well.
Please.
It wasn't really a choice or a decision. It was a decision. It was a decision to live because I couldn't go on any further living as male.
Tell me, what did that look like? I mean, were you just depressed? Is that when you kind of separated from your wife?
Yeah. Well, it, basically what happened is May 31st of 2013, I was left with a choice between staying married to my ex or being able to live as Ashley. And I chose not to decide at all, and I attempted to take my life.
Oh.
And I remember when I woke up in the hospital, and I looked over and I saw my mom sitting there, and my ex-wife was sitting there. And as soon as I could conjure up a conscious thought, I knew that since I had survived that, which I was not supposed to, that I had to live the rest of my life as me, and that I couldn't compromise that anymore.
Were there struggles prior to that were becoming more and more evident?
Absolutely. My ex was very supportive at first when I first told her, and she was the first person that knew other than me and the therapist.
Did she know it beforehand anyway?
No, she had no clue.
She had no clue?
No clue.
And so you were married for about how many years before you?
We were married for 18, and we were together for 25.
Wow. And so you kind of, quote-unquote, came out of the...
I came out of the closet, yes, yep. Absolutely.
So she was initially supportive?
She was initially supportive. She understood that this was a part of me, except for it had to live in a box that was slid under the bed, and I had to go out of town to be Ashley. I couldn't tell anybody. I basically had to hide who I was.
Okay, so this would be similar to just don't poop in your backyard kind of thing.
Exactly.
Yes, people, I said poop.
Yes.
But, I mean, that's probably maybe how you felt and all of that. So how long did you stay in that kind of situation or agreement?
I stayed in that for about two and a half years.
So you would literally leave town,
I would leave
pack
town.
A suitcase.
I would pack a duffel bag, or I would put my clothes on underneath a sweatpants and a sweatshirt.
Mm-hmm.
I would drive to the Owings Mills Metro Station, where I would take off the sweatshirt and sweatpants. I would sit there and I would do my makeup and put on my hair.
What were people thinking?
I mean, nobody was thinking anything because I parked in the parking lot where nobody could
see. Oh, I
see.
Okay, so you weren't sitting in the...
No. Right. I was in my car.
Hopefully you were parked and not driving while putting on your
eyeliner.
No. God bless you, don't do that.
No. And it's funny because I drive by that metro station all the time. And
okay.
Every once in a while I think about that.
You would just kind of leave town and leave... yourself.
Yes.
And then when you went out, were these sexual escapades or were these just like...
No, it was just friends going out to a bar, friends going out to dinner,
What kind of friends here?
Other trans friends. And I had a very best friend, Lisa. And Lisa is no longer with us because she succumbed to the 41% of trans people that take their lives.
That is something I was going to ask you about beforehand.
Yes. And Lisa and I were sitting at dinner one night at the Stony River restaurant in Towson Town Center. And we looked at each other and we said, you know what? We're not going to go to gay bars anymore because we're not gay. It's a safe place for trans people to go. But we decided that we were going to go out and just do whatever it was that we wanted to do. And if we wanted to go to the mall, that's what we were going to do. If we wanted to go to the movies, that's what we were going to do.
So your whole behavior would change your demeanor from like masculine. It would just become very feminine-ish.
Yes. Well, wow. not as you would immediately think of it. I wasn't flaming. I mean, I'm not flaming now.
So sure.
I would just be myself. And this is me. I haven't really changed how my voice is. My inflection is just natural.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't been called sir on the phone in 5 years.
Yeah, I mean, you're kind of convincing. I'll just tell you that.
It's actually not hard to be yourself.
All right. Well, okay. So you would try to play within this boundary.
Correct.
According to your wife. So she knew about this. And I can't even imagine what kind of strain that put on her as well.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And I have a tremendous amount of empathy for what she went through. She didn't sign up for this. She didn't ask for this. And the more I tried to put it in a box and bury it, the worse it got.
At the time, you were also talking with your therapist. And was there any kind of, please don't get angry, am I even asking this, but just corrective measures of just trying to adjust thinking, you know, like when someone is addicted to something, we give them a better habit,
right?
Kind of thing.
Well, I mean, basically what happened was we tried to come up with some coping mechanisms, and none of which worked, because the more I was able to go out and go out of town and be Ashley, the more I wanted to just be her all the time.
Okay. Were there any slip-ups when you were, like, at home or something like that, and it would just, bam, come out, and your wife would kind of give you that look, like, keep Ashley out of here.
That happened a few times.
And were you always Ashley? Or is this a name that you kind of picked?
This was a name that I just kind of picked. And I tried to name a couple of my kids Ashley because I've always loved the name.
Interesting. Interesting.
And, of course, obviously that didn't work out.
Sure.
I picked the last name Morgan because I tried to name a couple of my kids Morgan, so I really like the name. And then, of course, my middle name is Jane, and that's the most interesting part of my name. One of my favorite books growing up was Jane Eyre. And I've read that book probably more times than most anyone ever has.
I don't even know what that book is.
Yes.
I know Curious George. All right. You had this opportunity to kind of explore a little bit. Your wife was good with this,
yes.
Okay for right now. But things came to a head and you tried to take your life. Well, first of all, I'm glad you didn't. I'm glad that you see your life as sacred.
Yes.
And that God loves you. But what happens next?
Well, basically what happens next is I come home from the hospital and I'm forced to go live somewhere else because no, she doesn't want me in the house, which part of me understands and part of me doesn't understand how when somebody is at their lowest moment, you can just send them out in the world. But that's neither here nor there. I end up going back to the house and live there for another year, trying to cope, trying to get through all this, trying to figure out a way to make it work. And there were problems in the marriage anyway. And I'm not going to try and use that as an excuse.
Sure.
However, there were issues that existed, just like anybody else's marriage. And kind of how my therapist framed it was, okay, you being transgender is the one thing that can't fit under the rug with everything else.
Sure.
And so ultimately, in June of 2014, it just became very apparent that it was time for us to go our separate ways.
Okay. And then you've also come out to your parents,
siblings? My mother was the third person to know after my ex. And she has been supportive from day one. She didn't understand it at first. She didn't get it. She even went through the denial phase because of all of the things I said I was when I was a kid growing up.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing that she said that really stuck is she said, when you were a kid and you hit puberty, you walked through life like you had this huge chip on your shoulder, like you were mad at the world. And I never knew why, because you had a great childhood. You lived in a nice home. You had, you know, everything that you could possibly want for, plenty of friends, but you walked around the world just pissed off.
Hmm. Yeah, but there was no effort to try to figure out what was going on at that time.
No, and, you know, here's the thing. Growing up in the 70s and then, you know, going through school in the 80s, you absolutely...
Yeah, therapy just wasn't a big deal then.
Yeah, therapy. And if I would have told my mom at the age of 4 when I could have articulated it, hey, I want to be a girl, she would have whisked me off to the doctor because I had that mother that whisked us off to the doctor if we sniffled.
Yeah.
And she, because she was such a good mom.
So you come out to these people. And who is the second person? Because you said your ex-wife and then your mother was the third?
Well, right. I guess my mother was the second person.
Okay.
The therapist was the first person I ever said it to. And
Understood.
Then my ex-wife and then my mom.
And then what happens next? You go through a spiral upward or downward?
When we separated,
mm-hmm.
I actually, for about 3 months, I tried to figure out how I could make it work. I had even come up with a very long, lengthy plan that I had presented to my ex that said, hey, okay, here's how we make this work. Here's how we at least get through the next few years. Mm-hmm. You know, let's get to a benchmark and then see where we are.
I'm going to just ask a very personal question here. When you were intimate with your wife, where was Ashley in your mind and heart?
Here's the very interesting thing that I came to figure out when it was all said and done, thinking back to those times and back to those memories. If you remember, I said that I dated women, and I think I really was so interested in all different kinds of women because I wanted to be them. Mm-hmm. As I frame it now in my mind of where I really was when those times were happening, I was the one that was in her place.
Okay, that's hard for me to get my mind wrapped around, but I believe you.
Right. In other words, I think I really framed my mind as in if I were laying there looking up at me.
Oh, gosh. Remember that one Mel Gibson movie, What Women Want?
Yes.
That's the only thing that's coming to my mind right now, and that's kind of sad that I actually – that came to my mind. Let's move on,
Let's
Ashley.
Let's move on. Okay, so
– so you go to your therapist still.
Yes.
And who makes the recommendation – go through this. Why can't you just stay a transvestite gender? I mean, why can't you just dress up?
Or as I call them, a part-time person or
Okay, so that's what it is. For you, you just need to be fully what you think you are.
Yes, full-time. Got 24/7, all day, every day.
And so right now, you're not. Or you are.
I am. I am completely what they call fully transitioned.
Okay.
In that my gender marker has been changed on every legal document that I have.
Okay.
My name has been legally changed on every document that I have.
What is that called again? It's a gender
marker.
Marker.
Yes. Okay. Where it says male or female on your driver's license.
Got it.
Your passport, and even my birth certificate has been changed to female.
Your birth certificate?
Yes.
How is that possible?
Well, that is one of the things that in Maryland, if you are transgender and you actually have everyone involved in your care sign off on that, mm-hmm. they will change your gender marker.
Interesting.
As far as the medical community is concerned, I am female.
Okay. As far as the medical scientific community?
Yes, I am female.
Even if they were to say, take a blood sample and your DNA is clearly...
Yes, because in the world we live in right now, your gender identity is what drives your gender. Not necessarily your biological gender.
Got it. Okay, so that could be a slippery slope, couldn't it?
Absolutely.
How do we prevent that from happening? Because it seems that there's a lot of activism out there that does cause confusion, perhaps, or maybe not.
Yes, tell me. But also understand, I've been through this process, and there is a tremendous amount of gatekeeping out there, and it's not a bad thing.
Gatekeeping meaning?
Meaning you have to stop at this roadblock and get permission to take another step forward. They don't just let you start taking hormones.
When did you start going to women's bathrooms?
I always used the bathroom of the gender I was presenting. It got to the point where it was so bad that I actually had to look down at my feet to see what shoes I was wearing to know whether I went into the men's room or the ladies' room.
What do you mean it got so bad?
Because I spent so much time living in both worlds. I spent almost equal time at one point in time living between male and female.
Okay, so yeah, because you come across as a pretty modest female.
Yes.
I mean, very different from like a drag queen.
No, and that's a whole nother conversation.
Okay, well, we're going to have that conversation. Maybe I'll have a shoot the shiitake with a transgender. I mean, with a drag queen, which is a different thing altogether.
Yes, that's a performer.
Okay, we're going to change the subjects because I don't want to get – so now you are – going to go through surgery, and first of all, thank you for your willingness to talk with us before all of this.
Oh, sure.
And I hope that we can even have a conversation afterwards, after you've settled.
Yes.
Like, how long do you think this process is going to be? I mean, what is this?
Well, you know, there are some unknowns on the other side of this.
Absolutely there are.
Like I had alluded to when we talked earlier, my surgery is next Tuesday, which is a week and a day from where we sit now.
That's right.
I will be in the hospital for 5 to 7 days. I have to stay in bed. I can't get out. I can't go walk around. I can't do anything other than just lay there. At that point, I'll be discharged from the hospital, provided that I'm healing okay, and I will be home for 2 weeks of bed rest with a question mark on the end of that.
My goodness gracious. This is risky.
Nobody's ever really died from it, except for like the first person that they did it on back in the 1800s. So,
yeah.
So, you know.
And what I'm going to ask you is something that I think a lot of people have wondered. Are you keeping your original parts or are you?
What, in a box?
Well, that sounded like Bates Motel-ish right there. No. I think there are some people, and I've talked with a few, and they have kept their parts.
Yeah, no. I'm good.
You're losing it.
Yeah, whatever they want to do, medical science, have at it. Part of what's down there they actually use to create the vagina, and there's part of it that just isn't required anymore.
Yeah. Ouch. This is my original thought. But at the same time, you know, a sexual experience is something that is so profound, we in the Catholic Church is considered a gift.
Yes.
Is that what you're eventually hoping for, a relationship?
No, what I'm actually hoping for is that when I get out of the shower and I walk past the mirror that hangs on the back of my closet in my bedroom, that the body that walks in front of that mirror is complete from head to toe. Right now, when I walk across that mirror, my eyes never go below my waist.
Because
I have a very feminine shaped body. My breasts that you can see in my shirt are real.
I'm keeping my eyes on your eyes. Okay, just so you know, as a Catholic priest,
I'm not saying that you're checking me out, but I mean, I'm sitting in front of you.
Yeah.
But estrogen did a lot of great things for me.
Did people try to convince you to stop or just to not do this? I mean,
no.
So your family and your ex-wife, and I ask you about your kids?
My ex did not encourage me to take hormones. But by the time I was already doing it, we were separated and it didn't really matter and it wasn't really her concern anymore.
Okay. And as far as your children, what did this look like? How did you explain this?
We probably did the worst job of...
You and your wife?
Yes, okay. Me and my ex, of framing this for the kids. And I'm not going to delve too far into that, but all I can say is about 6 months through this, my three oldest kids did not talk to me until finally in Easter season of 2015, they came to my house one night for dinner and they looked at me and they said, you know what? We get it.
How old are your children? And keep them, obviously, yes. Just give me an age range.
Yeah, 18 all the way down to 6.
Yeesh, wow. Did any one of them have more difficulty than the other?
The older ones certainly had more difficulty.
I mean, they've seen you always as dad.
Right, and I'm still dad.
Well, okay, that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I am. I can't deny my past. We all have one.
Okay, that's a really good point because I wanted to ask you, when Bruce Jenner, kind of iconic, became Caitlyn Jenner. I just wrote a Facebook post again. Boy, I get into a lot of trouble on Facebook this
day. Yes, you do.
But I simply just asked the question, what happened to Bruce? Was there a mourning that they have to go through? People who knew him and loved him as Bruce because he's no longer Bruce.
Yes.
And you're no longer X.
Yes. And quite honestly, everyone that I had was close to or it touched their lives, you know, in more than just a friend way, mourned the loss of who I was.
So there is a death in a sense?
There is a death in a sense of a person that didn't die, a person that you still see all the time, a person that's still part of your life in one way, shape, or form. And there is one of the places where I do have some serious empathy for my ex because we have children together. We co-parent. I have.
And you're still dad.
I'm still dad, and I have joint custody of my kids, and I have them about half the time.
Okay. And so approaching this decision, how long did you have to take estrogen before you could go through surgery? Is this one of the gate markers or gatekeeping?
One of the gatekeeping parts is that you have to be on estrogen for a year to 2 years, depending on who you talk to.
And did that immediately take an effect on you? Did you feel the change? Were you kind of weirded out?
Yes.
Hot flashes?
And I will explain to you the story because I was living at a friend's house at the time.
Male friend, female friend?
Actually, a couple, male and female. They were good friends of my exes and I. Mm-hmm. And when we separated, they insisted that I come and live with them because it was close to my ex and the kids. So they wanted me to be there for the kids, and they didn't want me to go rent an apartment somewhere in Owings Mills far away from everybody. So they insisted I come and live at their house. And I went to the endocrinologist one day, and that's the person that gives you the hormones. Mm-hmm. All my blood work came back good, and the doctor looked at me and said, okay, it's time to start. Are you ready? And of course, I said, sure, absolutely. Well, the nurse came in, poked me in the backside with a vial of estrogen, and off I went. I went back to where I was living, and we were sitting there, and it was July, and we were just having a little chit-chat discussion, and I sat back in the lawn chair that I was sitting in, and I grabbed the armrests, and I must have had this look of, oh my God, on my face, pardon me, and listen,
I would have been like, oh my.
And my friend Rachel looked at me, and she said, Ashley, what's wrong? And I looked at her, and I said, nothing. And she said, well, why are you holding onto the chair that way? And why do you look like you just saw a ghost? And I looked at her and I said, Rach, do you remember how I described gender dysphoria to you? And she said, yeah, Ashley, we've talked about it 1,000 times, the softball in your chest. And she was kind of being a little dismissive. And I looked at her and I started to cry. And I said, Rachel, it just went away and it's never come back.
So these hormone treatments have to be given to you regularly, though.
They do. But what they do is they teach you to do it yourself. So every Wednesday, I jab myself in the backside with estrogen. Every day of my life, I take a testosterone blocker.
Okay. And on a health level.
Yes.
How are you on a health level?
I'm very healthy. I just had all of my blood work because you have to do that every 3 months, basically, when you're transgender. And I had to have it done again because I'm getting ready to have surgery, and they want to make sure you're healthy enough for surgery. And everything that they tested for came back in a very good range.
All right, so glad that you're healthy. We're going to do one more final segment when we come back. I'm talking to Ashley Jane Morgan here on Shoot the Shiitake. Deep dish discussion, part 3, side dish. I don't even know what I'm calling it right now, but it's just going to be more, so stick around. This month on Shoot the Shiitake, we're going to be launching and sending out more information to all of those who are willing to support us in any way. With just a donation of $10 each month, we'll be able to continue these ongoing conversations that are super culturally relevant in a very Christian way. It'll help you to become not only better faithful people, but also better listeners. And boy, isn't that what our world needs today. And so for just $10 each month, you'll have access to premium information and premium content. And if you want to advertise with us, please know we've got a great, very economical and effective way to not only support us here at Shoot the Shiitake, but help get your message, your product, and your brand out to a very engaged audience. For more information, just go to fatherleofeeds.com/listen to be a support, an advertiser, and most importantly, someone who can change this world one conversation at a time. Welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake here with Father Leo and talking to Ashley Jane Morgan, who in about a week is going to be experiencing surgery. And I don't even say fully Ashley, but you would correct me and you would say,
I was born Ashley 46 and a half years ago.
And when was your name officially changed, though?
My name was officially changed in the fall of 2014.
Okay, and so now everyone is calling you Ashley.
Yes.
Do sometimes your family slip and be like, hey, ex?
Absolutely. It's more of like my mom, who I talk to every day, will slip, and my dad slips because, you know, that's who they knew.
It's kind of awkward, isn't it?
I guess it is, but I understand it. And it's kind of funny because my parents actually correct each other.
You're not militant, though. I'm glad, because there's just a lot of militancy out there, and it's kind of offensive.
I get it, and it drives me crazy. Okay, you have to understand that I am not what everybody is used to.
Yeah, you're a little different.
Okay, so in order to have a successful go at this, you have to be willing to meet the world halfway.
Yeah.
If I'm going to expect the world to accept me, I have to move into that. And it's one of the reasons that I spend so much time being concerned with how I look and how I present out in the world.
How much time do you spend in front of the mirror, Ashley?
I've got it down to I can do my makeup in about 30 minutes.
30 minutes?
Yes.
Holy God, that's what I take to do the start to finish.
That's
what it is.
But that is actually start to finish for me.
Okay.
I mean, actually, the actual makeup application part is probably about 15 minutes.
Okay.
But, you know, picking out an outfit and making sure my hair looks okay, jewelry.
I'm going to just ask, do you think you're more vain now or just more like attentive to
as opposed to when you were
a guy?
Yes. Well, because when you're a guy, you can roll out of bed, throw on a pair of shorts.
Aren't you gonna miss that?
Comb your hair with your hand. No, I haven't missed it for the past 4 years. So
really?
No. I sit there in the morning and I get up really early for work. So I'm sitting in front of my mirror at about 5 o'clock in the morning.
And you work in a very masculine centered situation.
I do.
Construction. So that people know, and I'm trying to keep your confidentiality intact.
Sure.
You're not a construction worker. You're not putting on a hard hat.
No,
sometimes you have to.
Sometimes I do. I do have to go to job sites, but I'm an
off. What was this like for these guys?
You know what? Most people are very polite. And as a matter of fact, in the professional world, I've never had one person say anything other than professional words. In other words, we deal with the task or the matter at hand. We resolve whatever issue it is or deal with whatever it is that needs to be dealt with, and we move on. No one has ever come to me and said anything.
Really? Has anyone flirted with
you? Absolutely.
I mean, any catcalls?
Absolutely.
And then you kind of look at them and you'd be like, I'm not that kind of girl.
I just smile and go about my business.
And then
just
do
like
the guys
any other
woman behind your back go like, hey, by the way.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, maybe they do. And if they do, that's on them. That's not a reflection of me.
So you're pretty confident in all of this. It's like a lot of the critique would fall by the wayside with you, or do
yes.
any of these really hurt?
No, it does. Nothing really hurts because I just you have to, when you go through this, you have to get to a point where you can just accept the fact that not everybody is going to get this, and you just don't care what anybody else says or thinks.
Has anyone like told you that they really don't like your decision and they try to convince you?
No, nobody's ever really gone to that level. I mean, there are little things that have happened along the way that would happen to anybody.
And there's really nothing anyone can say to make you change your mind, to keep your original.
No, no.
As you were born with.
It's not me. Mm-hmm. It's not who I am. I equate it to a birth defect. To me, it is simply a birth defect. A friend of mine called me yesterday and said, are you starting to freak out about surgery? And I'm like, no, I'm not starting to freak out about surgery. Well, oh my God, I would think, wait a minute. Okay. I was born with a birth defect. To me, this is no different than going to the dentist and getting a cavity filled, or going to the eye doctor and getting my eyes checked, or going and getting a physical at the doctor. It's something that's required to do for me to have good health.
Interesting. So I don't know if I would go so far as is having a cavity filled, but I mean, if that's kind of where you are.
Well, no, it really is. You know, I think I started to freak out a couple of weeks ago, and then I realized, okay, well, what is freaking out going to accomplish here? Nothing. You've made the decision to go and do this.
Is it easier for a man to transition to a woman or vice versa? What's your thoughts on that?
It depends on what position you're coming from. So in other words, female to male, they present much better because mm-hmm. men can be much varying difference in height. And they get facial hair, they get muscles, and their voices get deeper.
Yeah, so, I mean, while you are certainly a convincing woman, there are still, you know, you said that you were pretty athletic, you were a big guy, and you can
yeah, I have broad shoulders for a girl.
You're big boned. Yeah,
I am big boned.
Yeah. Now the studies, and you mentioned it about your friend, and I'm sorry that she took her life.
Yes,
and I really am praying for that. Does that – I don't want to – what does that do to you? I mean, one of your closest friends and the studies are out there, and it's
right.
a very unfortunately high rate
right. and
of
like
suicide.
I said, 41% of trans people attempt suicide, and once you attempt suicide, you are basically almost 100% likely if things really go wrong.
I'm wincing right
again.
Now, folks. You can't yeah. see it, but I'm just – it saddens me.
It's also why I'm a volunteer for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention.
Okay. Wow. And how are you planning to just stay healthy in all of this from this point on?
It's basically, I've reached the end of the road of the transition. Once I heal from surgery, there's really nothing left to do. I don't plan on having facial surgery. I don't plan on having any other surgeries. I'm happy with what the hormones have done. So basically, now life really just kind of goes on.
If you could preach to me, this is the whole point of this show.
Sure.
I want you to, because you've heard me preach.
Absolutely.
Challenging things left and right, but at the same time, I've got to be willing to, at the very least, listen, even if I might not agree with everything.
Sure.
What would you say to me as a Catholic priest, just trying to be a good priest for you? Because you still call yourself a good Catholic.
Sure.
You mean, you told me that you just went to church the other day.
I did.
You were at the cathedral.
Yeah,
right?
I went to the Basilica. I'd never been, and I wanted to go, and I got a one-on-one tour with one of the tour guides,
mm-hmm.
and I had an absolutely great time. I went to Mass, and it was probably one of the most beautiful services I've ever been to. It was very reverent. It was everything that I love about church. I had such a sense of peace over me the entire time I was there.
How do you reconcile that with other Catholics who might say, hey, this is a sin?
I reconcile it as I don't believe I'm sinning. I don't believe I'm deceiving. I believe that God actually made me this way. And God gave me the ability to make informed, conscious decisions about how to move through life.
And with people who are really trying to, as you said, meet each other halfway.
Yes.
What's the thing that I need to do to meet you halfway? As a Catholic priest, as someone who obviously will have some differences in opinions, what can I do to be a good priest for you?
Basically, like I had said before, just treat people as human beings. And, you know, we've learned to be colorblind over the years. We've learned to be blind to any race. And so the same holds true for people like me. We are still God's children.
Okay, this sounds horrible. That's beautiful. And I wish I could end it right there, but I'm going to make you end it again that way. But I've got to ask the question. There are some bad-looking versions of transgender. I mean, it's hard to take. I mean, you know, like
there are, and I'll admit it, and I don't like to be judgmental.
Yeah, I'm not trying to be judgmental either.
But let's face it,
man,
it exists. But you know what? There are some rough looking, just regular old
people
walking around the world too.
Yeah, they are rough looking.
And that goes back to what I said before. You know, we're asking a lot of society to accept us, and we do have to kind of meet them halfway or somewhere along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And you talk about being passable.
Yeah.
And I don't care about it. And maybe it's because I kind of am.
Yeah.
But you know, you have to at least give it a try. You can't walk through the mall wearing, you know, a short leather skirt and stiletto heels and fishnet stockings and have a 5 o'clock shadow. It just makes people's heads hurt.
Yeah. Yeah, boy, that image is...
it does, but I've had a lot of
sure.
people reach out to me and say, I don't understand why I get such a hard time at the mall. Oh, well, do me a favor. Send me a picture of what you wore to the mall. And so then I know what the picture's going to look like before it even comes. And then I respond back, okay, you have a homework assignment. Go to the mall. Do not dress up like a woman. Go in your guy clothes. Go buy a coffee, sit on a bench, and watch every genetic woman that walks by you. If you find one woman that's wearing high heels, fishnet stockings, and a tight leather skirt, I want you to take a picture of her and send her to me. And no one has ever sent me a picture back
okay.
of that.
Is there a favorite prayer that you say or will say before the surgery or kind of like a spiritual thought that kind of comes to your mind that gives you peace?
I actually enjoy praying the rosary.
Wow. It's one of my favorite prayers, too. It's a little long to close this segment
yes,
here.
Yes, it is a little long, but I am a very big fan of Hail Mary.
All right. Well, you know what? Even if you're not Catholic and you're listening to the show, just in Ashley Jane Morgan's honor, and I can't thank you enough for your bravery to come and talk to a priest about this. I really sincerely appreciate it, and I do look forward, God willing, for us to be able to meet up again, talk, and just shoot the shiitake to see how we're doing and see what we can do to just make this world a little bit better place, just as long as we're willing to eat good food so we can keep our mouths shut and do a little bit more listening. And that's what we're going to do right now. We're going to close up with Shoot the Shiitake and with a Hail Mary. Thanks again, Ashley.
Thank you, Father Leo.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
This week's premium subscribers will get information on discernment, and we actually hear from a special guest, Father Michael Denk of prodigalfather.org, where he teaches us how we can more engage our senses, learn how to pray in just 40 days, and more importantly, help us to discern what God and his plan is for you. So for premium subscribers, all you've got to do is just go to fatherleofeeds.com for more information so that you can get tips with premium content, basically extra information each week here at Shoot the Shiitake. And this week, it's all about discernment with Father Michael Denk of prodigalfather.org. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. FatherLeoFeeds.com is where you can get all the information about what we do and even to send me your questions and your comments on this very, what I would call, powerful experience for me, and I hope it was for you. And powerful doesn't mean good or bad. It just means it had an impact on me. This is the first time I have ever spoken with somebody like Ashley Jane Morgan. If you remember last week in my show, I talked about how people who come from diverse or alternative lifestyles have been kind of part of my life just growing up as a kid. And it just doesn't shock me. It doesn't kind of freak me out. And so a lot of people have actually emailed me about my show last week. And some of you were just downright mean. I gotta let you know, some of the posts on Facebook, as well as some of the emails you sent me, just kind of rude and mean. But you know what? I'm willing to read it, and I'm willing to listen to you, as long as you're willing to listen to what I have to say. In fact, there was one person who actually emailed and said, after hearing like the first few seconds of the show, where I just simply kind of introduced the show, they said they couldn't listen to it anymore. And I actually think that's pretty pathetic. That's pretty sad, and that's pretty immature. I mean, the fact is, there are some things that I say to God in prayer, and I'm so grateful that God is willing to at least listen to me, at least past a few ridiculous prayers that I might have to ask. In other words, if you're that afraid to listen, then you know what? You're probably not a really good Catholic. You got to be willing to listen. And in fact, if there's one thing that we were taught in seminary about confession, is that you need to talk a lot less and be willing to just listen to what people are going through, and making sure that our words were encouraging. In fact, there is a phrase that I think everybody needs to understand. If you want to be a good Catholic, you want to be a good Christian, it's called leave people in good faith. That means let's make sure that we give them some hope at the end of meeting us, to make sure that they have some good news when they work with us. I just think of the rich young man in the gospel, of how Jesus tells him that if you really want to be a follower of me, you're going to have to sell everything, give it to the poor, and then follow me. And the man walks away sad simply because he didn't want to do it. But did Jesus say to him, oh, you get away from me, you good for nothing, you know, weakling? No, he didn't say that. He just simply gave them the truth, left it at that, and didn't try to pick a fight with them. I look at the prostitute, you know, what Jesus basically says, and nor do I condemn you, go and sin no more. And boy, that's where it is. I think people are most offended because they think being transgender is being sinful. Well, can I tell you something, folks? Being human is being sinful simply because we are all broken individuals. Because of a broken human nature, thank you very much, Adam and Eve, who gave to us through the generations an unfortunate brokenness. We're all dealing with it, and just transgenderism is a form of a broken human nature and also a form of a broken nurturing where we get our identity. So remember last week we talked about identity. We talked about what it means to accept people, but at the same time rejecting sin, and also talked about just understanding, developing enough compassion where we're going to be willing to listen to people. And so for all of those people who just couldn't stomach this conversation, well, I'm really sad for you. But for all of you who are actually still listening right now and wanting to learn how this all ended, well, thank you for putting up with that. It's very hard to listen. Can I tell you something? It's hard to listen to the news because they're so politically on one side or the other. So do you know what I do? I actually listen to about the equal amount of news from conservative radio and TV as liberal radio and TV. And what I am figuring out is that if we're not willing to listen to both sides of the story, then we're only going to hear half of the story. And many of us aren't even willing to inform our experiences of something. So we really have no way to make a good decision unless we're willing to hear all sides of the story. And here's what I heard, and here's my carry out order. And trust me, folks, there's a lot here, so I'm going to try to move as quickly as I possibly can, knowing this, that this is not the last transgender I'm going to be talking to. This was just one person's story. And in this story, I was coming up with a few different kind of topics for me to meditate on and to pray more about. And one is based on identity. You gotta be yourself. There was something that Ashley Jane said to me that kind of struck me to the core. And she said, I can't be myself only part-time, which is why she, and technically is a she legally these days, and boy, isn't that interesting how identity is established by things on the outside. But let me just stick to one point here. She mentioned how she had to be herself full-time, not part-time. Full-time, which is why she decided to go through surgery and why she decided to get rid of the male organ in order to create a female organ. And she's not confusing her. She knows full well that genetically she has the biology of a man, but in her mind, she's fully convinced that she's a girl. And while I can literally put up a fight and argue on the merits of science, that wasn't the point of this show. I wasn't here to argue with what she has come to understand. It was to listen. And what she gave to me was this notion of making sure I am not a part-time Christian. That's my identity. My identity is to really be a full-time believer in Jesus Christ. And that means that there are benchmarks. You know, as there were benchmarks for Ashley to be called a female, they had benchmarks. They had to have every person working with them in their psychological development to agree to this, to have every other kind of major person to be willing to agree with this. And I don't even know if that meant her parents or not. That's maybe for a future conversation. Did her parents have to sign off on this as well? Or was it just medical professions who evaluate our identity? What I got out of this was, who are the people who evaluate whether or not I am a good priest? Who are the people in my life who can sign off and say that I am a good Christian? I mean, who are those people in your life? It's just a good question. It's just a good question because, you know, nobody knows what another person is going through unless you're willing to walk with them a couple miles in their shoes. And in Ashley's case, what shoes was she wearing that day? That's why she's choosing to only wear women's shoes. That was just an interesting question and her answer and how she chooses which bathroom to go into. And here's what I appreciate in her honesty. And boy, this was a very honest conversation. She kind of held nothing back. She talked about how she would have to look down and determine what shoes she's wearing in order to choose which bathroom to go into. And that, to me, shows that Ashley is willing to work with the other confines and the other social benchmarks that determine which bathroom you're supposed to go into. So if you're an unconvincing transgender female, that means you see yourself as a female but you dress like a man, then you've got a problem. You are becoming basically a militant. You know, and what I think I'm grateful about Ashley in this conversation was that she was not a militant transgender. She didn't have a chip on her shoulder and an axe to grind. And she knew that as we have overcome color blindness, we're going to have to overcome this part of society as well. didn't say accept it and like accept, you know, the evils, but just an understanding of knowing that how she comes across was convincing enough for me that I actually wouldn't have thought twice about whether or not she was a man or a woman if I was just walking on the street. You know, there are some people who are going to just be more convincing than the other. And but at least in Ashley's understanding, she knew that she had to conform to a societal standard. You know, she wasn't going to walk around with a scruffy beard and put on a dress at the same time. She even knew that there were societal benchmarks. And so for me, I just ask myself, what's the benchmark that helps other people when they take a look at me and say, hey, you know what? That priest is a real deal Christian, not a hypocrite, not looking one way and dressing the other. And so it just came again to a real confrontation of how we identify ourselves. There was a part in the conversation, and I think you got it too, where the only thing I could have was compassion, which basically meant a judgment-free, but more importantly, a compassion, a willingness to help this person to find some sort of peace and some happiness in their life when Ashley talked about how she wanted to commit suicide. And I got to tell you, folks, I've met some people, some Christians who've said, I just wish they would all just go away, just die, just go get rid of all of this. That's not a Christian attitude. I came to a question in my own prayer and in my own reflection, which would I rather have? Ashley go through the surgery and try to find some level of peace or to just kill herself? You know, and I know that it's not a black and white situation. And that's why we know that it should never be one or the other. We've got to try to figure out as best as we can how we can help someone experience life to the fullest so that they don't feel the despair to take their own lives. Yes, I do know that it's over 40-something percent of people who suffer with gender dysphoria and who've actually gone through the transition surgically that they've taken their own lives. I don't want that to happen. I don't want that to happen to anybody, which is why I think the greatest identity we can have is our identity in Christ. And so I'm just grateful that Ashley sees as part of her identity is that she's a Christian, you know? And so it's just this reality in our world that, yeah, confusion exists. And I'm trying not to create more confusion for people. I'm trying to create more clarity. And one of the clear things that I've come across in my almost 20 years of priesthood, but at the same time, 18 years of priesthood, 19 years ordained, including 1 year as a deacon. And by the way, I just want to let you know that this week on June 5th, I will be celebrating my 18th year as a priest. So I'm grateful for that. But just this idea of knowing that after so many years of priesthood, nothing is 100% clear except for that God loves us and that God can forgive us if we're willing to ask for forgiveness. But sin and understanding sin in the moral life requires a formation in conscience, which is why one of the other things I want to do is talk about the therapy that she received only later in life. She mentioned that if she tried to explain her gender dysphoria as a child, you know, when she was a man, fully a boy, ununderstood as a child, and said, you know, Mom, I want to wear your dresses, the mother would have taken them to a therapist. But unfortunately, in today's world, some therapists would not be very helpful. And so I think what we've got to do is just accept people where they are in their life, give them a safe place where they know they can be 100% honest with Mom and Dad. But unfortunately, Mom and Dads are so confused and so conflicted and so ill-informed that they just might simply agree with allowing a young boy to dress like a girl or allowing a young girl to dress like a boy and see themselves as a boy. And boy, there's a lot of confusion. And so if you're confused about this episode, welcome to the world. I'm not trying to give you a black and white answer. I'm trying to teach us how to understand that there are multiple sides to a story, as there are perhaps multiple sides to you as a person. You might be a Catholic, a great Catholic, but don't lie to me and say that you don't have a sinful side to you. You do. What it requires for us to make sure that we integrate all aspects of our being is if we can be honest with someone.
honest with someone. That's why I'm very honest with my spiritual director, folks. I'm very honest to people, you know, to the priest to whom I go to confession. Yeah, I do go to confession. And so there is this reality that we are not always living a fully honest life because we don't know with whom to be honest. So I want to just encourage you to find a good person, a good confessor, a good counselor, a good priest as a spiritual director. And by the way, you don't have to be a priest to be a spiritual director. I know that some priests actually go to a woman for a spiritual – a lay woman who just – they believe – and these are some seriously good priests, ladies and gentlemen – go to a female lay person for spiritual direction. But my encouragement is just to be honest. And then the final thought that I had, and this may be a little scattered, which is why I want to make sure that I continue this conversation, is Ashley's understanding of the fact that she saw her male body as a birth defect. And that's where I might challenge her and just say, you know, I don't think God does make mistakes necessarily with our identity. Like someone who has, you know, grows up with a birth defect, whether it be a hair lip, maybe it might be a form of someone who's born with both sexual organs. We talked about this before. Someone who may be born with a birth defect, whether it be a psychological or a physiological imperfection. I don't know if that's the case or not, but that's how she saw herself. She couldn't see herself any other way. And I think the only way that she could correct this was if she injected herself each week with estrogen. That was really key for me because it was an outside hormone that she injected herself with each week in order to maintain a level of peacefulness in her mind. Something from the outside has to enter into the inside that gave her peace. Well, I just think that as a Catholic priest, I have to inject myself with a daily dose of truth every day. That's called the Eucharist. That's called the Word of God. That's called the body and blood of Christ. And I'm just hoping that Ashley will continue to also inject herself with the truth that comes from the Word of God and the Eucharist, understanding that even though she may now be a female, it doesn't necessarily mean that, how shall I say this, that she's going to have to engage more confusion by trying to, like, you've seen it on the news, ladies and gentlemen, how, like, there was a transgender woman, transgender male that basically meant a man, excuse me, a female who became a man and now decides to get pregnant. And we think that that's interesting. No, that's just biology. You know, so in order for us to understand all of this, we have to make sure that we not only understand the psychology of a transgender person and the sociology of a transgender person, as well as the biology of a transgender person, we also have to understand the theology. A theology. What does God have to say about this? And as Ashley continues to inject herself each week with estrogen in order to give herself peace in mind, I'm just going to suggest that all transgender people and all Christians, whether they see themselves in the identity of the sex that they were born with, that they inject themselves with the truth of God more than once a week, but every day of our life, every moment of our life, to inject ourselves with the truth of Christ Jesus, who came into this world, yeah, to love us, to give us truth. And while we can't accept it all at the same time, we have the responsibility to accept Christ's identity in us, which is why I want to kind of close with this thought. The most important identity is not as male or female, rich or poor, black or white, slave or free, but as one body in Christ, to see ourselves most importantly as a Christian. And by the way, that's not a black and white matter. That is a work in process. What are the benchmarks to help other people to see you as a child of God and as a follower of Jesus Christ? And it will lead you to not be willing to become suicidal, but willing to be a martyr, a witness for that. And does it take therapists? And does it take our family members? Well, it does take some benchmarks, and it requires us, most importantly, to be honest with who we are. So can we be honest
What are our benchmarks to see ourselves as a true Christ? And to know that even though we've all experienced a quote-unquote birth defect in us, which is a broken human nature, I can say only one thing. A divine physician can heal us, body, mind, and soul. So that's my carry-out order. Not answers to any questions, but more questions for me on how I can be a better Christian. Someone who is willing to listen, not just to God, but to brothers and sisters around us who may be struggling with their identity. And hopefully our strength in our identity as a Christian can help them understand their identity as a beloved child of God. So until next week, for more engaging conversation in Shoot the Shiitake, my name is Father Leo, and I just hope you stay hungry. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Shoot the Shiitake with me, Father Leo, sponsored by SelectInternationalTours.com, 800-842-4842, where you can learn about their passion for pilgrimages and their compassion for a pilgrim. And please subscribe to this podcast on any of your chosen platforms for podcasts. Also, we encourage you to share this information with family and friends and to support us in our mission, either as an advertiser or to receive premium content for just $10 each month. And we'll obviously accept even more, because you got to know that a show like this doesn't come for free. And while we want to provide all this for free, we definitely need your support. So please support us at fatherleofeeds.com/listen. That again, spelled out FatherLeofeeds.com/listen.